Jesus is concluding a series on what the day of the kingdom of God will be like. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This too is for us the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My friend Merriam-Webster, the dictionary, not the person, to be clear, defines sheepish as showing or feeling embarrassment, especially because you have done something foolish or wrong. To feel sheepish is to feel embarrassed because you have done something either foolish or wrong. And as much as I might wish that the word sheepish had some exotic etymology, some secret to its start in life, it doesn't. We get sheepish from the fact that a person resembles a sheep in some perceived characteristic. Unfortunately, as many of us know, sheep are not known for their courage or their keen insight. Instead, we know sheep primarily for being timid or stupid. I mean, they're cute, right, and they're fluffy, and they taste good when prepared well, but, you know, generally we don't hold up sheep as being models. Which may be why it's best to recite the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," without thinking too deeply about the implications for what that makes us. If God is the shepherd, well, you can figure out the rest. Given that the word talent probably came from the parable that we heard last week, I rather wish that the word sheepish came from the story that Jesus tells today. It is a familiar story to many of us, whether we know the story from paintings or poems, whether from sermons or songs. It is the Last Judgment, or if you prefer, the Judgment of the Nations. You can go into many cathedrals or Orthodox churches, and you will find that scene painted somewhere, usually with wretched-looking people getting tossed into a nice fiery pit, somewhere in that painting, just to drive home the point of the lesson. But in it, the Son of Man has returned as we believe and confess that he will to judge the living and the dead. He is sitting on the throne of his glory. He is surrounded by legions of angels, and all the nations are gathered before him, and he begins to separate people one from another just the way a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, placing the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Now, the Son of Man does this not for the same reason one separates eighth grade boys from eighth grade girls, especially when one is on school trips, though that is usually advisable. No, the Son of Man separates the sheep from the goats for a surprisingly crass reason, although at this point, nothing Jesus says should surprise us. As Thomas Stegman explains, in Palestine at this time, flocks were routinely mixed. You had sheep mingling with goats. But at night, they had to separate the sheep from the goats. Sheep enjoyed the open air of the pasture, while goats had to be protected from the cold. And because sheep had more commercial value, they were preferred over the goats. Well, there you go. In a family flock of only two, there are still favorites. And the goats aren't it. Not only are they weaker, more vulnerable animals, they aren't worth as much as the hardier sheep. You'd think then that we would have come up with the word goatish, not sheepish. But there you are. But that's not the only bad news for the goats. You see, when he has them all sorted out, the Son of Man says to the sheep on his right, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." While to the goats at his left, the Lord says, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." I mean, once again, this is a really unfair story. It seems so unfair to these fragile, vulnerable little goats. But as we've seen over the past several weeks, there's not a lot that's fair about God's coming kingdom. So my question is, why do the sheep get to inherit the kingdom while the goats get ready to get barbecued? Well, it has everything to do with how the sheep and the goats respond to people in need. "I was hungry and you fed me," says the Son of Man. "I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you came to visit me." At which point everybody in the crowd looked sheepish, embarrassed because they had done something either foolish or wrong. The sheep looked sheepish because, well, they felt foolish. For the life of them, they could not remember seeing the Lord hungry and giving him food, or thirsty and offering him something to drink. The sheep couldn't recall having seen the Lord as a stranger whom they welcomed or someone naked whom they clothed. They couldn't recollect having gone to the hospital or to the prison to visit the Lord there. And so they said, looking sheepish, "Lord, when was this? When did we see you this way and take care of you?" And the Lord said to them, "Truly I tell you, just as you have done it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you have done it to me." Well, by this point, the goats were probably feeling pretty confident about themselves because they had faced the same situation. They too could not remember having seen the Lord hungry or thirsty, naked or a stranger or sick or in prison. So they asked the same question the sheep did. "Lord, when was it that we saw you this way?" And the king responded by saying, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did not do it to me." And now it was the goat's turn to look sheepish because they had in fact done something wrong. Only the goats do what so many of us do. The goats do what I do. The goats do what is so easy to do. They looked at some of the least of these, at a homeless person, a beggar at the corner of Mockingbird and Central. They looked at someone dirty and disheveled and perhaps mentally ill. They looked at someone who is in this country illegally. They looked at someone in prison. They looked at someone in need of health care they can't afford. And the goats did not see Jesus in any of them. Because we just can't conceive of Jesus as being among the 925 million people around the world who today are hungry. Because we can't see Jesus among the 884 million people who lack access to clean drinking water. We can't imagine that Jesus would look like the visitor who has come to today's service for the first time and pretty clearly doesn't understand what it is we do here. We can't imagine that Jesus might look like the new person at our office or the refugee who has fled the violence in their home country for the safety of these shores. We don't believe that Jesus would be the homeless person sifting through clothes at the clothes bank or the single mom who hasn't bought anything for herself in over a year so that she can buy school clothes for her kids. It's hard to believe that Jesus would be one of the countless Americans who, unable to afford health care insurance, must seek treatment at a public hospital like Parkland or a free clinic like Charity at Grace Church or actually need Obamacare. And for many of us, it is nearly impossible to think that Jesus looks like one of the 2.3 million Americans in prison, who is likely to be poor, undereducated, and a member of a racial minority. And when Jesus the King looks at me, I can barely lift my eyes to return his loving, searching gaze. In fact, I can only feel sheepish, embarrassed for having done something wrong. Ashamed that for all of my being a valuable, highly prized, well-protected sheep, well, frankly, I'm often just stupid and timid. Because members of Jesus' family are all around me. Lots of his brothers and sisters are here or in the sanctuary or worshiping in churches around the world. Plenty more of Jesus' sheep are on the golf course or enjoying a hearty breakfast or the luxury of sleeping in. But millions more of Jesus' family will not enjoy eating a full meal today, nor will they drink clean water. They will wear simple clothes reduced to rags through repeated wear. They're strangers to the freedoms that we enjoy, freedoms of speech and press and assembly, to say nothing of literacy and meaningful opportunity for economic advancement. Millions of Jesus' brothers and sisters languish in prisons or hospitals or even on the streets. But thanks be to God, Jesus the King is there. Jesus the King is among his people, often disguised as one of them. The poor, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the imprisoned, the strangers. Jesus is there, there with the dispossessed, there with the impoverished, there with the imprisoned, there with the marginalized. Christ. You and I then are called not to overlook and to ignore, but to look into a human face and there see the face of Jesus Christ. For inasmuch as we have done it or not, to these, the least of Jesus' brothers and sisters, we have done it or not to him. My brothers and sisters, if you and I want to see the face of God and not look sheepish, we have only to look into the face of our neighbors and to meet their needs in love.